Across the country last night, millions of people watched or listened to the last debate in the presidential campaign. Some of you may have tuned in to NPR's National Listening Party. A lot of you probably watched the debate on TV or on your computer. But who did you watch it with? Are you the type who likes to curl up in a big easy chair all by yourself? Or do you gather with like-minded individuals who cheer when you cheer, jeer when you jeer? How many of you willingly got together with folks who don't agree with your politics? Writer Sean Hubler did. She and a group of neighbors in Orange County, California, intrepidly crossed party and property lines to watch the debates with a mixed brew of voters. In today's Los Angeles Times, she wrote an op-ed called Of Neighbors and Presidential Debates. Who did you watch the debates with and why? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And Sean Hubler joins us now from KUCI in Irvine, California. Good to have you with us, Sean.
Hello, Lynn.
So tell me a little bit about this group. I mean, is it really as diverse as you make it sound politically?
Yes, it is. It's pretty diverse. And, you know, we sort of didn't go into it thinking, oh, let's have one of these and one of those. It was just kind of a block party. The people across the street from us like to entertain, and they have people over all the time. And we made friends with them before we realized that we were voting for different people for president. And they said, come on over and we're going to have pizza and we're going to watch the debates. We're all going to watch the debates together. And we said, oh, that sounds great. And then we said, who are you backing? And they said, well, we're for McCain and we're Republicans. And they said, who are you backing? And we said, well, we're Democrats and we're for Obama. And they said, oh, well, then come anyway. And we were a little bit apprehensive at first because we thought, well, you know, we really like these people. They are exceptionally nice people, the people across the street. They're great. They're fun. They're smart. They're funny. They listen to good music. You know, they keep their yard nice.
And what about the other people who joined you? These were other neighbors, people of a very different political background?
Absolutely. Well, so then what happened was we thought, well, okay, who else is coming? We said to her, and I said, oh, you know, the people that it turned out, all sorts of people from across the neighborhood were coming. There's a gay couple that lives kitty corner from us, and they were going to come. They brought their daughter. There's a retiree that lives behind our neighbors, and she was coming, and we didn't know what party she was from. And there was a real estate guy. We weren't sure what he was. We figured he was probably Republican, a small businessman. There was an investor. There was a surfer that lives next door to us, and he showed up. He kind of wandered in. He turned out to be a day trader. Who knew? But anyway. There was like a whole crowd of people.
Now, you said this, you called this a civics experiment. Why? What did...
Well, you know, I'll tell you, for a lot of us, as it turned out, and it kind of became abundantly clear, actually, as the evening kind of went on, most of the people that were there, you know, they weren't political people ordinarily, but they also weren't the kind of people that tended to kind of reach across party lines just for the heck of it. You know, we aren't either. I mean, like a lot of people, you know, we tend to, hang out with people who think and vote as we do. And so it would have been fine for us to have sat at home and, you know, sat on the couch and, you know, jeered at remarks that we didn't agree with and, you know, whatever. And I think it would have been the same for a lot of the other people who were there, too. But once we were there, it was kind of in for a penny, in for a pound.
Well, I was wondering about that because people have a tendency to, you know, talk back to the television or the radio when they're watching or listening to the debate, talk out loud. So did you have to censor yourself?
Yes, and it was really uncomfortable the first couple of debates, but we loosened up toward the end. But at the beginning, there were some truly awkward moments. I mean, there were a couple of people at one debate. There was a woman who was a McCain supporter, and she couldn't help herself. She got very excited and started to do this little kind of golf clapping thing, which really was annoying to the Democrats. But then the Democrats started to kind of boo a little bit sometimes when McCain would talk. And then the Republicans would kind of shoot them dirty looks. And then everybody became very polite, and we found ourselves being sort of overly, you know, kind of polite to each other or just kind of clamming up. And at one vice presidential debate, one of the gay guys got there early, and they were kind of outgunned for a long time. There were not as many Democrats there. And one of them kind of just sort of retreated with his wine to the corner of the couch and kind of quietly sat there drinking for a little too long. He was sort of having a little nap by the time we showed up. But then, you know, but it was the same with me. I mean, I felt it most keenly myself. You know, I kind of found myself saying these really sort of overly nice, you know, bipartisan things that I really did not mean. You know, oh, well, they're both wonderful candidates. And, oh, you know, yes. I mean,
wait,
that was
so
very...
you lied. Are you saying you lied? And was
I lied.
Was this a good thing
I
then?
Confess.
You were censoring yourself and you were lying? Is this a good, a real lesson in civics or not?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. But, you know, but after a while we loosened up, and then, you know, kind of not so much, I have to confess. By last night, everybody was really kind of letting their, you know, freak flag fly.
We are talking with writer Shawn Huber about her experience watching the presidential debates with a politically diverse group of people. And we'd like to hear from you. Other than your family, who did you watch the debates with and why? And what did it do for the experience? Did it enhance your experience if you were with people who didn't think like yourself? Or if you were with people who were in your political camp, why? Give us a call. The number is 800-989-8255. And we're going to take a call now from Julie, and she's calling from Aurora, Illinois. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I watched the debate with my husband and my brother and a friend of mine, and it was kind of fun. It was like watching a sporting event, really, where we were all cheering for the same team.
Because you all did think alike.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Most of my friends are pretty strong Obama supporters, but a friend of mine who is a McCain supporter, I didn't invite him because it would make me too mad if we started arguing in the middle of the debate.
Yeah, so you deliberately chose not to invite your one friend who you knew felt differently than you did.
Yeah, it would feel a little bit like inviting a Packers fan to a Bears game.
Well, it is a little like a sporting event.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for your call, Julie.
Thank you.
Did you have that sense at all, Shawn, that sense that it is kind of like a sporting event, like we were saying? People sometimes, you know, talk out loud to the television and they're cheering.
It is very, yes, it is very much like a sporting event. And even to the point where, you know, we were, as I said, we were a little nervous that one of us would get mad. But one thing that helped was, like, last night, for example, our hostess got the idea to have, it was Mexican food last night, so somebody brought tequila, and we had a drinking game, and the drinking game was going to be that every time someone said change or my friends, we were going to take a shot. But then about midway through, we sort of wished that that the rules would have been Joe the Plumber would have been the key word.
I think the combination of tequila and two different political opinions in this particular case could have been pretty volatile. But, you know, I wanted to get to something, Shawn, which is at the end of your piece, you know, you really talk about, I thought it was very interesting where you got to in this piece in terms of what you really are bringing out of this experience about how we should interact with each other politically as we go forward.
Actually what happened, this is going to sound kind of corny, but every time we've left after the debates, after every evening, we felt kind of strangely patriotic. You know, one of the things that has happened at these debates, you know, kind of the cheering and the, you know, kind of forced civility notwithstanding, we've gotten into some really good conversations. The investor explained to got into a conversation with us about how, you know, he really is genuinely concerned about a rise in the capital gains tax and, you know, kind of the small businesses that he invests in now that he might not be able to afford to invest in if the taxes go up, because he relies on his investment income. And the gay guys, got into a conversation on the night of the vice presidential debate. I think somebody mentioned something about being tolerant of gay people. And they said, you know, people don't understand. We don't want to be tolerated. This is not, you know, what an awful thing to say to somebody. We'll tolerate you, you know. And it was really sort of consciousness raising in a funny way. And we discovered things about each other we didn't know. I mean, people that would have otherwise just been stereotypes to us. One of the McCain people turned out to be a really ardent environmentalist and really active in a beach cleanup movement and cared very deeply about these things. And, you know, some of the Obama backers had real kind of misgivings about having the unions have more power, this union checkoff thing. And everybody kind of interacted on the issues in a way that, you know, I mean, these are people. None of us tend to, you know, kind of talk politics normally. I mean, it's not, you know, it's Orange County, California. You know, it's not Washington, and we don't. This isn't something we kind of do ordinarily. And it was interesting to find out people's sort of genuine, mixed, and kind of complex views on these things. And also, you know, I'd been kind of doing some reading, and you know, I in the article I cited. Some guys who are writing in Slate who have been writing about something called, they wrote a book, it's called The Big Sort, Why the Clustering of Like-Minded America is Tearing Us Apart. And it's all about, you know, kind of how people have sorted themselves into, you know, like-minded communities where you really don't interact with people who think differently than you do. You try to people who are trying to minimize that. And I think that, you know, it doesn't do anybody any good to kind of turn into
Would you have felt that way before you did this?
Are you kidding? Before I did these evenings, I was more than happy to sit in my living room and, you know, yell at Fox News and really and hang out with my, you know, my friends and, you know, my brother and sister-in-law and the people who think the way we think. And now I don't feel that way so much, you know. And I also have an appreciation. And I think a lot of people are beginning to, for just like how unbelievably difficult the work is going to be
to bring everybody after this together.
Election.
Yeah. Let me just remind our audience that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And our guest is Sean Hubler. We're talking about how to watch the debates. And if you'd like to join the conversation or how you watched the debates last night, 800-989-8255. We're going to go to Colin, who's calling from Marietta, Ohio. Hi, Colin.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I watch the debates by myself. I like to keep it simple. And, you know, I don't like the chatter of everybody else's opinions in my ear. It allows me to make up my own opinion, and I can sit there and I like to fact check what everybody's saying, what Obama's saying, what McCain's saying, because you know, you can't take everything that they say at face value.
You fact check during the campaign? I mean, during the debate?
Well, as much as I could. I mean, I wanted to pay attention as well, but after, you know, like with what CNN does and MSNBC, they check what these candidates are saying. I think that's very important.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Colin.
Thank you.
And we have an email here from Angie. She's calling from, she's writing from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I tried to get interest together for a debate party for the first debate, but most of the people I asked happened to share a different political view than I did. One of my close friends, also with a differing point of view than mine, said that many of our friends or coworkers had expressed hesitation to her about attending the party at my house because I didn't share their views. I ended up canceling the party due to no interest and watched the debate with my husband. I think we all lose something when we only stick with our own in these situations. And that kind of reflects the lesson that you sort of took away from this experience.
Yeah, it's true. And I have to say, like, one of the things that I think really made it work is that we do all live across the street from each other. We do see each other all the time. And our hostess, the Republican lady that lives across the street, is a terrific hostess. I mean, one of the first things she did when everybody walked in, and she said, like, now this is all, we're not Republicans here, we're not Democrats here, we're all Americans here, which, you know, kind of set the tone for the evening that, you know, we're not going to get, you know, we don't want to be mean to each other here. You know, that didn't stop, like by last night, that didn't stop sort of, you know, people from really, you know, sort of letting loose with, you know, massive groans whenever from the Republicans when somebody mentioned tax policies, or you know, shouting, you know, when they got into the discussion of, you know, kind of who was doing the dirty campaign commercials, you know, sort of the Democrats were sort of letting fly, but generally speaking, it was kind of good natured. And by the time actually the fourth debate happened, we all sort of knew enough about each other.
Oh,
and
had you were talking
respect.
About the vice presidential debate as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, did anybody's vote change over the course of the debates?
I don't think so. We didn't really have I don't know. We didn't have as far as I could tell anyone who came into it undecided. But there were some interesting changes of votes. One of the things that's happening in California, as you may know, California Supreme Court recently gave gays and lesbians the right to marry. And there's a proposition on the ballot that would take that right away. It's a very hotly contested ballot initiative. And the gay family got a chance to explain to everybody there sort of why, you know, they should, you know, vote to maintain their right to marry. They'd been together 10 years and they meant so much to them, and to be able to get married, and they're getting married this month so that they can kind of beat the election. That did sway people. And by the end of the night last night, the one thing that everyone could agree on, which we all toasted, was to vote no on Proposition 8, which was this initiative, so that our friend Steve and Jeff could get married and stay
well,
married.
So there was some shift of politics. That's interesting.
Yes.
And what about you? Did you get any insights into the other side that you hadn't had before, other than this general insight of it's good for us all to talk and get together?
It made me less able. I mean, I've always in my heart, of course, like everyone, I know that both the presidential candidates are, you know, truly decent and smart guys who are very good at their job and want very much to do a good job and will do everything they can to do a good job if they get elected. But, you know, it's sort of easy to demonize the other guy.
And so when you're with these other people, you can't demonize them as much.
I can't do that.
Right. Well, Sean, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you.
Sean Hugler is a freelance journalist, and she wrote an op-ed in today's Los Angeles Times called Of Neighbors and Presidential Debates. She joined us from KUCI in Irvine, California. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.